Well, good morning, everyone. I'm going to actually ask you to do the opposite. Will everyone stand up? I'm just kidding. You don't need to. That was a joke. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors and elders here at Center Church, and I want to just thank you for joining us. Today's topic is about parenting, and I know that we have a very diverse background of people who attend Center Church, and so I know that some of you have kids, some of you maybe have some adult kids, some of you haven't had any kids and don't want any kids. All of those scenarios are cool, all right? And today, you know, one of the things that we've been trying to accomplish is really just trying to help families get oriented in what's going on in the world today. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had an interesting last like 14 months. Anyone else kind of been in that, right? Like the last year has been very interesting, right? And so it's been a challenging season. But here's what I want to add, just ask you to do real quick. If you've got your smartphone, go ahead and pull that out. And if you don't have a smartphone, there's these things called smartphones that like everybody has, which, I mean, if you don't have one, that's cool too. If you don't have any, we want to follow along with the message notes. If you just raise your hand, one of the ushers will actually come and hand one of those out to you as well, so you can follow along. But we're going to be talking about parenting today. And parenting in the 21st century as it relates to COVID has been an interesting one. We're in the second week of a series called The New Normal: Finding Clarity in the Chaos. And if you're joining us online, I want to invite you to follow along as well. But as we jump into this, will you just pray with me real quick? Father, I thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for bringing us out to this amazing, gorgeous city that is San Diego. Thank you for all of our friends who are joining us online. Lord, would you speak today into areas of our life that have been a little chaotic and complicated, and would you provide clarity through this chaos and give us guidance and direction in our lives? Now, I don't know if you would agree with me on this, but parents, here's what the last 12 months of my life have looked like, okay? One, kind of jumping into 2020, right? This was a fascinating little season. We live in California, so weed was legal. We've had a lightning rod of a president, right? Kind of like a reality TV show host. That's been fun. There was a massive fire in Australia. Anybody remember that? Yeah, like we just glazed right over that thing, right? Like that was a huge deal. People start getting sick. We're not sure about what's really going on. They start talking about closing things down. More people are getting sick. Not sure what's real or fake or if it's true. Then they shut everything down. The roads are empty. Businesses start closing. People lose their jobs. Everyone's on Facebook. Grandma and grandpa are watching QAnon on YouTube. People actually do start dying. I can't go to my friend's house, can't go outside. My kids are home 24/7. Protests start happening, buildings are being burned down, justice needs to happen. My kids are still at home 24/7, okay? Did I make that a point? My kids are still home 24/7. Teens can't play sports anymore, prom's not happening, graduation gets canceled. My kids are still at home. Then school starts up again. I'm supposed to be a teacher. I don't even know what Zoom is. I get out of the shower and have to be extra, extra careful because the kids are in class, right? My kids are still home 24/7. Nothing's working. I'm stressed. She's stressed. They're stressed. We live in a small house. Ah! Did anybody just want to scream for the last year? Right? This has been insane. Now, can I just tell you, if you're a parent and you made it through the last year, you need to give yourself an award or have a drink or both, okay? Because, man, that was intense, right? Now, whether you've got kids or not, that the last year has been difficult. And so here's what I want to do today. I want to talk about what does it mean to parent through chaos? What does it mean to raise little hellions through what it is to be chaos? Now, I'll give you a little bit of context, okay? Carla mentioned this. I got a lot of kids. I have 5, okay? My youngest is 4. My oldest is 11, right? So, like, we're in the middle of this, okay? We live in a 3-bedroom house, not very big, with 5 kids, okay? We have toys and then we got chickens. Like, we have a dog. Like, we got stuff coming out of corners of our house. I didn't even know, like, wow, I haven't seen a part of my garage in, like, years, right? But that's just sometimes how it is. So how do you parent through the chaos that is life? Here's what I'll tell you. I believe that in America, we are facing an identity crisis. We don't know what to believe anymore. We don't know who to believe. You watch the news and you hear one side or you hear another side. You read something, you hear one side. You watch videos now and my kids can FaceTime me and be a shark. Like, I don't even know what's real anymore, right? And we live in this society where things are a little complicated. That's what's been making this so difficult. And here's what my hope is today for you. My hope is that I can give you a little bit of insight into what I believe helps guide a family in what is the 21st century through some of this chaos. Here's the first thing. If you got that outline, go ahead and pull that out, and I want you to fill this in. Some things to remember. Here's the first one. I need to know my identity. As a parent, you need to know your identity, right? And I'll give you a little illustration to this one a little bit. Last November, my family took a trip to New York, and it was kind of fun. We went for a cousin's wedding. I think I've only met this cousin like two or three times, but at this point we had been like in like lockdown for like 7 months, so we're like, we're doing that. we will figure that out, right? We did the whole negative COVID test thing. We're gonna fly to New York City, okay, with five kids, the youngest of which is three. And I've been watching stuff on like YouTube and like people getting kicked off of planes, and it was kind of crazy, right? Now I'll tell you all this too. My kids have never been on a plane before. So that was an adventure, right? So here's what we ended up doing. I had the rest of my family come with us, right? So I got my sisters, my parents, my mother-in-law. We're doing this whole thing together, right? We're just gonna go. We're gonna figure it out. You know, one of the things I love about flying is as soon as you get on there, and I don't really remember if they even did this, right? The whole safety check, right? You know, when like you get on the plane and the flight attendant's like, okay, hey, we're gonna, you know, this is your seatbelt. This is a flotation device. Use the kid that's next to you, or the seat that's underneath you, or however that was supposed to work. But then the thing, what do they tell you just before you're getting ready to take off, right? If negative pressure occurs in the cabin, right, and the little thingy starts to hang down, right, you grab that thing, and what do you do with it? What do they tell you to do with it? You put it on yourself first, right? And then you gotta help the little people next to you put theirs on, right? Why did they tell you that? Because you're no good if you pass out. The little hellions next to you, they're no good if you pass out. So the thing that I believe is so crucial in parenting through the chaos is you need to know your identity first. You need to know who you are. It starts there. And the thing is, I know that like as a parent, you already know this. You're like, you watch these kids, right? And they watch you. Right? They watch your every move. They watch everything you say. They start to sound like you, right? And so we know this part of our life. And here's one of the things that I think, you know, I can't even take credit for it because it was like all my wife's idea. But what does it mean for your family to have an identity? What is it that your family stands for? What is it that you are trying to create? What is it that you're trying to instill in your kids in the year 2021? What is it? And this, guys, applies outside of raising kids too. This just applies in life. What is it that you stand for? My wife did this thing a few years back, and we've come to kind of call it our family mantra. And what she and I did is we sat down and we really started looking at what are the things in our life that we want our kids to be representations of us about, right? And what are the things that they're going to encounter in their life that we want them to be able to reflect on and to come back to, right? Because in the middle of chaos, when that plane is experiencing turbulence, right? And you guys have flown before, right? So, you know, like when it like drops like 50 feet, right? It doesn't feel like it drops 50 feet. It feels like it drops 500 feet, right? You're like, oh, we're still like 30,000 feet up in the air. And everyone kind of freaks out a little bit, right? And I've never had those little air mask thingies drop down, but if I do, whoo, I'd be nervous, right? Anybody else with me on that? Like, I'm not a fan of that, right? Because then you know it's real. Stuff's getting real, right? But in the chaos of life, sometimes that little 50-foot drop feels like a 500-foot drop. So what is it that you do? What's the mask that you put on in that chaos? How do you find the clarity there? Here's what my wife and I came up with, and I'll share this with you. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. Sit down and figure out what is it that you care about as a family? What is it that you care about that you want to instill in your kids or that you want other people to even just know about you? Here's the Sheridan family mantra. I am Christopher Joel Sheridan. I stand on the rock everlasting. He makes me brave. I can do hard things and I won't give up. I'm generous and kind. I do what's right, not what is easy. I'm always learning and always growing. I'm never alone. I'm a part of the Sheridan pride. I am worthy of love. I am God's masterpiece. I will be all he made me to be. I am a child of the one true king. That is my identity. And we wrote that in a way that says, I, me. It's me. That's who I am. So in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of things that are going on in my world that are complicated or difficult, and I have to make a decision as a man, or I have to make a decision as a father, I do what's right, not what's easy. And when I'm working with my kids and I'm trying to instruct them in the areas of their life that they need to make some progress or make a decision, we do what's right, not what's easy. We are generous and kind. We give. Those pieces, that component of that mantra arises time and time and time again. It's kind of that North Star. It's that guiding star in my family's life. When things are crazy and it's chaotic and they have to make a decision, I go, that's what it is. Look back on that. That's that guiding star. That's the identity that I find myself in. I'm a child of the one true king. In your outline, you should have a reference to the book of Titus, chapter 2. Let me give you some context real quick. Paul was an apostle. He had a life-changing experience with Christ. And then Paul went kind of on a little tour all across the world, right? And he started planting churches in all these different places. And as he was planting these churches, he would raise up leaders. Titus was one of those leaders. And I love the book of Titus because it's short and sweet, right? But there's so many good nuggets in this thing. When Paul is writing to Titus in chapter 2, here's what he basically tells Titus, okay? And this applies to parenting so well. It applies to you as an individual, you as a person. Paul tells Titus, your job is to speak out on the things that make for solid doctrine. Guide older men into lives of temperance, dignity, and wisdom, into healthy faith, love, and endurance. We're going to circle back to all of that in a second. Guide older women into lives of reverence so they end up as neither gossips nor drunks. There's so much we can unpack there. I'm just going to skip over that one a little bit. But models of goodness. By looking at them, the younger women will know how to love their husbands and children, to be virtuous and pure, to keep a good house, and to be good wives. We don't want anyone looking down on God's message because of their behavior. Also, guide the young men to live disciplined lives. I will be circling back to that one. Guide the young men to live disciplined lives. Verse 7, but mostly, show them all this by doing it yourself. Trustworthy in your teaching, your words solid and sane. Then anyone who is set against us, when he finds nothing weird or misguided, might eventually come around. Paul tells Titus, here's the expectation of what we want the men and the women in our church to do. Here's the expectation of what I want you to teach them to do with their children. For the little girls and the little boys, here's what should be modeled for them. And then he tells Titus, and here's the best way to do it. Do it yourself. Show them. Model that for them. Anybody else getting gut punched a little bit? As I was writing this one, I was like, dang, I got so much work to do. I'm like, man, this. Every time I write a message, Josh, am I right on this? I'm like, dude, I got so much to learn. I'm such a dork. I don't know nothing, right? This is the model by which we create and we teach all of these things, all of these qualities that Paul's talking about. They're not little things, right? To be a man of wisdom, right? To learn from your experience, to know what's coming around the corner and to make a decision in advance. Wisdom is earned, right? Through the experiences that we have. It's attained through watching other people and learning. So here's kind of the next part of what I want to talk a little bit about. is the second thing to know is to know what season you're in. Know my season. And I'll elaborate a little bit on this. There's three seasons that I believe parents find themselves falling into. And this happens to everyone. And how well you do this really kind of sets you up for what your future looks like as an adult parent and what that looks like. Here's the first one, is a king slash queen, your royalty, right? Know the season of life that you're in. This is typically when your kids are littles, right? To be a queen or a king means to rule, you enforce, you provide, right? It's your job to put food on the table. It's your job to enforce the rules. It's your job to instill all of those things. Kings have subjects. So yes, my kids are all my little subjects. When it comes time to do chores, they all know that. The kings and queens have subjects whom they must govern, right? And in their turn, the subjects do what they can to please the king or the queen. And they better please that queen, I'm telling you. That's the first season. And here's why this is so important to understand and to address as you're going through these seasons, is because they all build upon each other. And if you don't recognize and acknowledge the season you're in, and you don't work on the areas of parenting for the season that you're in, you tend to set yourself up for failure in the future. The next is a coach. The second season is a coach. To be a coach is to be a mentor or a guide to support them and train them. We all have experiences with coaches in our life, right? With athletics, whether it's being in professionally coached, in our well-being. While coaches do get to command their students a little bit, it's still up to the student to make the right decisions on the things they're being guided in, right? It's kind of a blend, right? You go from being a king, queen to a coach. And then the last is a friend. The last season in parenting is to be one of a friend. To be a friend is to have unfailing support. Some of you guys have amazing friendships, right? Now, I'm not one of those people who had, like I had an elementary school friend, like, all the way up to adulthood. Like, I know some people who are, like, they've had a best friend since they were, like, five. I'm like, I don't know how you did that. I got in too many fights with my little friends when I was 5 years old. Right? But when you have a friend, right, when you've got a good friend, what does that friend do? They lend a supporting ear, right? They hear you out. They watch the decisions you make, and they support you no matter what. They love you through all of that, whether you make a good decision in their eyes or a bad decision, whether you're super intellectual and smart or you made a really dumb one. They don't care. They love you through all of that no matter what. That relationship is rooted in respect and kindness so that neither one of the two people have an upper hand. That's that season that it's in. Here's what Ephesians 6 says. Children, do what your parents tell you. Cool, we're just going to wrap it up right there, right? No, I'm kidding. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. You know why Paul wrote that to the church in Ephesus? Because children who don't obey their parents don't live very long, right? Am I with any parents with me on that one? No? No, all right. I'm just kidding. I still miraculously have all five of my kids. I tell my wife she went on a little trip a couple weeks ago, and she was gone for 3 days, and she came home, and I can't even say it was my idea. My dad was like, you should hire a cleaner to clean the house, right? I totally took credit for that, 100%. So I hired somebody to clean our house because if I didn't, that house looked like it got flipped upside down by a tornado. And it is a miracle that all five of my children were alive. Because if I had to do that, I would have lost one of them by now. I didn't know where they're all at. So raise them up in the ways of the Lord, because hopefully they live through it all. Here's the verse I want you to really catch in this one. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the master. Fathers, mothers, don't frustrate your children. Here's what I believe Paul means by that. In the season of life that you're currently in, if you're the king and you're the queen, right, instill discipline in your children. Teach them the foundational aspects of life that they need to know. And then as you're navigating and becoming a coach in their life, don't frustrate them by giving them scenarios in which they can't win. Like, I love my kids deeply. I will do anything for my kids. And sometimes what tends to happen when you have really high expectations for your kids, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one, right, is we go, hey, and they do something and they make a mistake, and we go, you can do better. And there's always this scenario where we feel like they can do better. And they feel like they can never win, right? Anybody guys ever grow up in a household where you feel like you could never win? You could never do anything right? We did everything wrong? Even when you did something good, it just wasn't quite good enough, right? Give your kids a scenario where they can win, where they know that what they're doing is right. The season of life that you're in as a parent has to have progress. It has to change over time, because if it doesn't, your kid's going to get frustrated and you're going to get frustrated. But here's what's at the core of all of this. When you're instilling in your little ones this idea of the core foundational truths that they need to understand as adults, right? They watch you like a hawk. My kids, they're like little parrots, right? Sometimes that bites, that's not good, right? Sometimes I'm like, our house is not big enough for this. Go to that room, close the door. I'm going to this room. I'm closing the door because we got to talk, right? Sometimes they watch and they say things that they shouldn't say, that I shouldn't say. And that bites me. It's not good. But when you're instilling in them those core foundational truths, you have to acknowledge the season that you're in and you have to transition well. Because you have to allow your little ones, and I'll give a good example of this. My oldest son is 11. Jaden's 11 years old, and he is right in that season right now where we're transitioning from the king and queen into the coach. And my wife and I actually just had a conversation about this the other day where we expect him to wake up in the morning, and he's going to feel embarrassed by this, but I'll buy him some ice cream for lunch or something. I don't know. Oh, he ran away. He's not here. He must have gone to the bathroom. That's good timing, huh? Right? He knew it. But he's in a season in his life right now, right, where he wakes up and we're homeschooling, right, like everybody else still, kind of, right? And he has these list of things that he's supposed to do. And he hasn't been very great at doing them, right? He wakes up, and my wife and I know that it's going to take 2 hours for him to accomplish all these things when he wakes up. And then we'll get a phone call like an hour in. He's like, I'm done. We're like, it's physically impossible for you to do something in 1 hour that it takes 2 hours to accomplish. How are you done? He's like, well, I just did it. We're like, no, that doesn't work that way, man. And so we're trying to teach him like time management, right? You got to manage your time and do it yourself, right? But we can't just be the king and queen anymore. We can't go, well, because you didn't do this, you're not going to get this. We have to start coaching him in, hey, let me teach you how to manage your time. Let's set an alarm. Let me show you how to, when I say you need to spend 30 minutes reading a book, here's how you spend 30 minutes reading a book. It's not 15 minutes, that's 30 minutes, right? That's a coaching season that occurs. But here's why this is so important. If you don't spend the time to transition from being a king and a queen into a coach, you're never going to build the trust that's necessary to become their friend. Let me say that again. If you don't navigate becoming a coach well, you're never going to build the trust that's necessary to become their friend as an adult. This is why so many parenting relationships, when kids become adults, when their children become adults, there's a strained relationship. Because you didn't build the trust that comes with forgiveness and grace when they make a mistake. That coaching season is so crucial in the relationship that you have with your kids. Because in that coaching season, it gives us the ability to speak into their life when they make a mistake, to show them how to walk through that mistake, to offer grace and forgiveness, and to build that trust. Because you can't become a coach unless you earn unless you have their respect, right? Like some of the best coaches I ever had when I was in high school and in athletics were the guys who I respected like crazy. I played baseball. That's like the only sport I played. I'm still like a diehard Padres fan. We got season tickets, and I am loving where the Padres are doing today, right? But the people that I respected as a coach were the guys who played baseball. They were the guys who played college baseball. They were the guys who went and did something significant, right? Parents, when you're in that season of coaching, own your own mistakes. I'll tell you right now, I own a business a couple businesses, which is chaotic. But you know what I teach my kids in this season, and especially my older two? I teach them the mistakes that I make. I will come home and I'll tell them, guys, I had a terrible day, and here's why I had a terrible day. Because this happened. And here's how I go back to my North Star and I say, but I do what's right, not what's easy. And I demonstrate to them, here's why that is. And I guess I'm not perfect in this, but here's what you got to know when you're parenting. You're not perfect either. I'm certainly not perfect. I'm like terrible, like a lot of the time. And my kids know that too. Yeah, that one. Uh-huh. Everyone's got one of those, huh? Everyone's got one of those. If you don't know who it is yet, give them a few more years, and then you know you got one of those. Yeah. I'm not perfect, but we have to manage those transitions well. Okay? Here's the last little part, and I'm actually going to have some of my kids come up here for a few minutes. Know my obstacles. The last thing to know is to know the obstacles that are coming up. You gotta know what's going on and what's coming up. Tyler, Ty, come here. Hurry up, come here. Come here. Come here. Oh, yeah, come here, my love. Oh, come here. Come here, come here, come here. I'm gonna pick you up, okay? Oh. I don't know how much you can see on that for people who are online. So this is Tyler. Say hi.
Hi.
She's how old are you?
Four.
Four. Tyler's four, okay? Tyler, oh man, she's got a lot of personality. Because she's the baby. She's the youngest of five. Right now, I don't know if you came from a big family, small family. When you are the youngest of five, you get a lot, you get away with a lot, right? But here's the first obstacle that you're going to encounter as a parent, and it starts when they're young, is time. Time. Here, you can run back over there, okay? Go back over there. Thank you, love. Time. Time is going to be your first obstacle. And here's what I mean. And I hope this sends a little bit of a chill down your back. They get old so quick. And the things we have to teach them, you know, there's like a big commercial and a lot that they talk about, like the first 5 years, right? First five are so significant for your kids. Time goes by so quick. So quick. And those first 5 years, that first the first ability you have to be a king and queen, to instill in them the core foundational truths that you have, that's going to be an obstacle. Mom, dad, especially if you work, right? Especially if you have a job, finding the time to give your kids what they need is going to be your first obstacle. And here's what I'll encourage you to do. We have a saying that I learned from, I don't even know where we got this from, but do for one what you wish you can do for all. And we have too many kids. but oftentimes I find it difficult to give my kids the attention that they crave and that they deserve. But I do for one what I wish I can do for all of them. And I try to carve out that specific time in their life to instill in them the things that really, really matter. Micah, come here. Hurry up. Hurry. Micah's dressed like a ninja. You don't have to get up in my arms. Turn around real quick. This is Micah. Micah is six. Yeah, cool. I got that right. Yeah. Yeah. He almost got me. That was good. Micah is six, and Micah is my little brainiac. He rocks glasses just like I do, right? Here's the second obstacle you're going to encounter. Discipline. Discipline. I'm going to read this to you just real quick. Out of the book of Hebrews, you can go sit back down. Thank you, buddy. Out of the book of Hebrews, here's what it says in chapter 12. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you. To say nothing of what Jesus went through, all that bloodshed. So don't feel sorry for yourselves. Or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as his children? This is the key part right here. My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. It is the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. God is educating you. That's why you must never drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in isn't punishment, it's training. the normal experience of children. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us, so why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? Discipline. Discipline your children. Okay, now let me just real quick address something. Some of you grew up in houses where discipline was getting beat with a stick. That is not the kind of discipline I'm talking about. And I am sorry that you may have been abused in that kind of a relationship. But discipline is training. It's educating. And don't get me wrong. Discipline sometimes is punishment for understanding that there's a consequence to your actions. We live in a society where our jails are overflowing with people. Where people who didn't grow up knowing there are consequences to their actions. Discipline. Remember that verse at the very, very top that I went through? Paul is telling Titus. He says, also guide the young men to live disciplined lives. Guide the young men to live disciplined lives. Teach your sons to live disciplined lives. Daughters too, of course. But is it just me, or do the boys just run amok, right? Like, if we go somewhere, I'm yelling at my boys more than I'm yelling at my girls, 100%. Discipline lives, to understand the voice of the Father and to listen and to be educated and to be trained to live a disciplined life. Liam, come here real quick. Yeah, don't trip on any of these cables. You run so fast. Liam's my middle child. He's got long hair, very, very long hair. Liam is 7. I got that right. He'll be 8 in July. Liam's 7. That elbow, man. Oh man, you got to be careful with that one. But here's the next obstacle is boundaries. And I use Liam as an example. And this actually works really well with the age of my kids. Boundaries. 7, 8 years old is right when kids actually start to develop friendships with other kids, like real friendships, right? And if you don't instill in your kids and you don't show them how to set up healthy boundaries in their relationships. My kids, my boys now are just now starting really kind of to get into video games. They love playing on the iPad, right? They love doing those things. Boundaries. Time boundaries, relationship boundaries. Boundaries are going to be another obstacle in your life in training your kids in the areas that they need to thrive in. Go, buddy. Riley, come here real quick. I got 2 more for you, and then we'll be done. Hurry up. This is Riley. Riley is 10. Riley, my daughter, is 10. She just turned 10 last month. Here's the next obstacle you're going to run into. Comparison. Riley is very creative. Very creative. And I have to tell Riley oftentimes, right? There's a saying, one of our presidents, Teddy Roosevelt, it's actually not in the Bible, didn't know this, but one of our presidents, Teddy Roosevelt, said, comparison is the thief of joy. And I actually had this conversation with my son, Jaden, the other day. Comparison is the thief of joy. Have you ever heard me say that? No? You've never heard me say that? Well, you will. I've said that to you before. Because here's what happens, right? When my kids, so she's totally heard me say that. I know she doesn't. She has. Here's how I know she's heard me say that. Because when she doesn't get to do something special, right? When I take her brothers out and we get to go do something special and Riley gets jealous or Jaden gets jealous and they compare themselves to other people. How many of you compare yourselves to other people, right? Comparison is the thief of joy. When we compare our circumstances, when we compare our families, when we compare the resources we have to other people, it robs us of the joy that we have. You can go sit down. It robs us of the joy that we have. Here's what 2 Corinthians 10 says. We're not, understand, putting ourselves in a league with those who boast that they're our superiors. We wouldn't dare to do that. But in all of this comparing and grading and competing, they quite miss the point. They miss the point. You miss the point. Comparison is the thief of joy. When you compare your life, when you compare yourself to other people, parents, When you compare your kids against other kids, you miss the point. It's going to rob you of the joy that is your children. Don't compare yourself. Don't compare your kids. Don't compare your circumstance. What God has given you in your scenario is what God has given you in your scenario, and walk that out the best you possibly can. Jaden, come here real quick. The last one. Jaden is 11. Jaden will be 12. And yes, I know. He's 11 and he's almost as tall as me, about a year, and I guarantee he'll be taller than me. Jaden will be 12 in 2 months. Yeah. Wow. 2 months. He said, I don't know. Like, he doesn't know. Like, he doesn't have a countdown clock on his phone. He does. Not. Okay. All right. Here's the last obstacle you're going to run into. Influence. If you don't manage navigating the relationship from being king and queen into being a coach, and then from being a coach into a friend, if you don't manage that when they're this age, right, where I transitioned from being a king and queen, from being king into coach, the influence that I will have over my son's life is going to diminish very quickly. Because what happens when your kids start to turn 10, 11, 12, 13, 14? They get their own friends. They have their own circles of influence. And so from that stage of being really, really little, creating a foundation of where they're at, into being a coach where I help them navigate the decisions of who those friends are and recognizing what those people are, there are some landmines that come up in your life. Parents, have you ever experienced some landmines with some relationships of people you know? Right? You need that relationship, that influence of those people. You can sit down. Thank you, buddy. Here's been a guiding principle for me in my life, and here's this last verse. Proverbs 13:20. I got this tattooed on myself when I was 18 years old, and my parents loved that, by the way. Proverbs 13:20 says, become wise by walking with the wise. Hang out with fools and watch your life fall to pieces. Another translation says, he who walks wise grows wise, but a companion in fools, of fools suffers harm. That was something that I actually did learn fairly early in my life. I went through high school. I walked away from Christ. I walked away from church. And I experienced all of those things. And I watched the lives and my friends' lives and everything that they encountered and experienced. And I learned really quickly, when you hang out with people, you start to become like those people. He who grows wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. That influence is the last piece of obstacles that you're going to have to encounter. So here's what I want to do, actually, just real quick. If you're a parent here, will you stand up with me just real quick? If you're a parent, just stand up. Awesome. Here's what I know to be true of you. You want what's best for your kids, don't you? You will do absolutely anything for your kids. You would sacrifice for them. You would do anything for them. The question I have for you is what are you going to focus on in 2021 to help raise your kids through those seasons of life so that you are in a position to have influence in their life, to be their coach and their mentor, and then to become their friend? I want to pray over all of you as we leave today, because I will tell you this right now, 2020 kicked my butt. Anybody else? That was not fun. But here's what I know. Here's what I know is true. 2021 is going to have some stuff that's also going to kick your butt. So is 2022. So is 2023. We live in a world that is filled with chaos because we live in a world filled with sin. And the best thing you can do as a parent, the best thing you can do in guiding your children through the areas and navigating all of those different landmines, is to live a life that first honors God and to put Him first in your life. And so I just want to wrap up by closing in prayer and pray over each one of you that you would live a life that is filled with grace and love, and that you would model that for your children. Would you pray for me? Pray with me. Father, I pray for each parent here and for the families who don't have kids, who don't want kids, God, that you would help them be people who would live out lives that are modeling for other families. Would you give over families to the lives that they need to live, Lord? Would you instill in these parents a gift of grace and of love and mercy, that they would take all of the baggage of their own adult lives, that they would take all of the things that they grew up in, God, whether it was good or bad, would you put on them your hand of grace, and would you show them how to be the parent that they need to be to raise up their kids, their littles, to their bigs, God, to navigate all of those crazy landmines that are in our world today, and to become coaches and mentors and friends of their children so that they can have the influence that's necessary to continue to grow in you. We love you. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen.